Journalist Jared Yates had just a handful of Twitter followers at this time last week. Then he made the decision to live tweet from a Donald Trump rally in Greensboro, North Carolina. His stream of messages conveyed a surreal nature at the event. Rampant misogyny, discrimination, hateful speech. Those tweets caused a stir on social media. Yates went from 1,400 followers to 15,000 in 3 days. He now has more than 17,000 followers. Jared Yates is an assistant professor of creative writing at Georgia Southern University, and he joins us now to share his story. Hi, Jared.
Hi, good morning.
Also with us is Chris Grant. He's a political science professor at Mercer University. Welcome back, Chris.
Nice to be here, Celeste.
And Jared is joining us via Skype. So, Jared, this was the rally in North Carolina was not the first Trump rally you had attended. Why were you going to those rallies?
I've been reporting on this election, and I've actually been very surprised to find that the atmosphere at these Trump rallies are completely different than anything I've ever seen from another political rally. The last one that I actually went to was the night that he announced his proposed Muslim ban, and I saw some pretty startling things at that rally as well. And I wanted to see what had happened, what would happen necessarily to those events now that he's the presumptive nominee.
So are you going to other rallies? Are you going to Bernie rallies and Hillary Clinton rallies as well?
Yes, that's right. I've been to a couple of Bernie rallies, and I actually went to Hillary Clinton's rally in Iowa.
Okay. And so for people who have not been following your tweet feed, can you describe some of the things that you saw that were of concern?
Absolutely. The thing that I think has garnered the most attention is twofold. One, very earlier on in the program, when a speaker mentioned Hillary Clinton, Secretary Hillary Clinton, a man behind me called her a misogynistic slur, which led to a smattering of laughter in my section of the crowd. What happened after that, I actually feel like was a response. It was someone nearby who I think was emboldened by that response, actually said when another speaker called for unity with the LGBTQ community following the Orlando massacre, another person in front of me actually shouted, "The gays had it coming." I think that they thought it was some type of joke or some kind of like tension breaker or something like that. But I believe those were the two worst things that I saw at the rally. There was a lot of intimidation of protesters. There was a chant of "kill them all" when it came to the media that was covering the rally. And then afterwards, on the way out of the building...
Wait, that's you. You're part of the media covering the rally, correct?
That's correct.
Did you feel unsafe?
I felt unsafe because I actually saw a protester who was being actively intimidated. It was obvious that he was a protester in the crowd, and there had been an earlier protester who had interrupted the program, and he was very obviously nervous and worried, and the crowd actually coalesced around him and started physically intimidating him, and it was at that moment that I felt very alone and very out in the open that it could possibly happen to me.
Okay, Chris, let me bring you into this conversation. Is what we're, and this is not the first coverage of Trump rallies in particular. Some news organizations have given their reporters special training in how to stay safe during some of these rallies because they've been violent. There have been violent clashes between protesters even. Is this unusual, or have we seen this at other points in our political history?
Well, I think you'd have to go back about 50 years to the Vietnam War protest and the 68 Democratic Convention to see something of this magnitude. There has been a theme that has gone on in American politics for many, many decades, that there are those that are on the inside and there are those that are on the outside, and that the people on the outside are outside because they've been pushed aside from what they rightfully deserve. And I think really what happens in the Trump rallies is that not only do we say to the outsiders, you should be on the inside, but you have the right to push the folks away that have gotten your place without reason, without deserving it. And so I think that's part of what's going on. There's license that is given, particularly by the candidate, to do that. I've been to Ted Cruz rallies, who demonizes the media and talks all sorts of nonsense about the media. I've been to Mike Huckabee rallies. And they do some of the same things, but they don't give license to make it individualized. And I think Trump does.
So, Jared, since that has occurred, I mean, we mentioned how many thousands of Twitter followers you've picked up, but not all of them have been supportive.
That's correct. Actually, yesterday I received the first smattering of death threats. I've received a pretty
Smattering of death threats. Mm-hmm. Do you take those seriously?
I like to think that these are just sort of sad people lashing out, but there's still a part of me that has to take that seriously, I think, with consideration to my safety.
What about that, Chris? When have we seen, actually, my senior producer just says he now has more than 19,000 followers in less than a week's time. But Chris, are we seeing something different in terms of the relationship with media, with journalists covering these rallies?
Well, I saw this in 2000, 2004, and 2008, where some of the candidates, particularly those that were trying to feed into this sentiment that I've been pushed aside, blaming the media first and primary. I mean, if you listen to some conservative talk radio, you'll hear the lamestream media. Public radio certainly gets tagged in that kind of rhetoric. And so that's a part of the rallying cry. You've been pushed aside. They're not telling you the truth. They're bad. What I haven't seen before is sort of the personal venom directed at individual reporters that Donald Trump gives. I mean, he'll point people out and say, that one right there. And that to me leads to a different level of vim and frustration that he's directing at an individual. And I think that when you make it ad hominem, when you make it individual, then there becomes a greater risk to an individual's safety.
Do you then, Jared, plan to attend more rallies?
The unfortunate thing is I actually think that I'm not going to be able to go to any Donald Trump rallies after this. The angle that I've been taking lately...
Is that because people know you now?
Yeah, I believe so. I've gained enough attention that I think that I'm not going to be able to go in there sort of quietly. My main tactic so far in covering these elections has been to go into the crowd and from an observer standpoint. And I actually think that this, though the success has been nice, I actually think that this is probably going to keep me from being able to do that again.
But that's a Trump rally. Do you plan to go to other rallies while you continue covering the election?
Oh, absolutely. I'm planning on going to every rally I possibly can, and I'll be covering the conventions next month.
And then what do you use from these rallies to teach with? What lessons are you both taking away from them and then passing on to students?
I think that's an excellent question. One of the things I think that this sort of poison discourse that we're seeing on a public level now, I really want my students to understand discourse. I really want my students to understand respectful conversation and actually empathy. I'm actually a creative writing professor, and so I actually think the basis of that entire endeavor is the idea of empathy. And I think that this we can learn from as much what it's not as what it is.
So, Chris, in the minute that we have left, what do we as journalists and as political science professors, what do we take away from this?
Well, I think we need to understand why people feel outside the system, and we need to understand some of their concerns, very much what Jared was saying. But we also need to understand that our democracy is based on mutual respect. And if we don't have that, we fall apart. We lose this fantastic form of government that we have.
Okay. Jared, as you do you plan to then be careful about rallies that you attend? I mean, is there any other rally where you have felt unsafe as you did in North Carolina?
The rally after Mr. Trump announced his proposed Muslim ban, it got a little scary afterwards. There were actually violent threats against protesters, and I was outside covering that, and it was a very uncomfortable situation. But I'm planning on going into these like any journalist would, with an eye and a stare toward safety.
And okay, Jared Yates, I guess we're going to have to keep following to see what happens in future rallies. Assistant professor of creative writing at Georgia Southern University, author of the book "I Am the Oil of the Engine of the World," and Chris Grant is political science professor at Mercer University. Jared and Chris, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.